You're listening to the John C. Scott Political Forum. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Keep this coach going, Pilgrim, no matter what.
Camp, we roll right into a trap. There's a cliff right ahead.
Well, steer her around.
I can't. The steering's out.
Well, then hit the brakes.
No brakes!
Well, I thought I gave orders to have this coach serviced at Perfection Auto Works for their 26-point inspection, Pilgrim.
Well, we took it to Tombstone Stagecoach Repair for their 2-point inspection. Here comes that cliff!
Well, it's every man for himself.
Doggone it, that coach went flying off the cliff. How did you ever survive that?
Well, I have a lot more pictures to make, Pilgrim.
Hello, Mike Emery from Perfection Auto Works.
Get out of here, dog nabbit, you varmint. You talk too much. Just take your car to Perfection Auto Works, 323-8650, or perfectionautoworks.com.
Since 1968, Ackerley Advertising has helped companies, restaurants, schools, churches, and nonprofit organizations manage their advertising. Hello, I'm William Ackerley, production manager at Ackerley Advertising. Right now, my brother, Dr. Ed Ackerley, and I are offering an awesome 50% discount on video production. We can help you tell your unique story with an affordable television commercial or video for your website and social media advertising. Give Ackerley Advertising a call or visit ackerleyadvertising.com.
The John C. Scott Show is paid for by the John C. Scott Company, LLC. Opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests and not necessarily those of KVOI or its sponsors.
Welcome to the John C. Scott Political Forum. John C. Scott is hosting one of the longest-running political talk shows in Arizona. This is the John C. Scott Political Forum on KVOI AM 1030, The Voice. And now, John C. Scott.
Good afternoon. From the Perfection Auto Works studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum, which is the most talked to, talked about, and listened to weekend political talk show in Arizona. Thank you so much for making that possible. Today's guests include Don Jorgensen, former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party, and then Larry Bodine of Blog for Arizona. He is the president of the Democrats of Greater Tucson, an award-winning reporter for the New York Daily News. He's a lawyer and, indeed, one of the brightest progressives in the state of Arizona. We'll be talking with Jim Hanley. He's our financial advisor. Some good news on the horizon economically for our country. Before I get to Don Jorgensen, I want to urge you to support Richard Fembries for another term to the city council. We endorse people on this show and proud to do so. Mr. Fembries, I believe, since I've covered the city council since 1967, is not only one of the brightest, but one of the best city council members we've ever had. 23,000 new jobs in Ward 5, where he represents the people of Ward 5, $80 million in economic development. No ward within the city of Tucson had seen more economic development, more job growth than in Ward 5. He is an amazing, wonderful man. And he's a great city council person, and I urge you to support him. Let's go to Don Jorgensen, former chair of the Democratic Party in Pima County. Don, welcome to the show. Thanks for giving us part of your weekend. Appreciate it.
Hey, good afternoon, John. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. We've got a faction of local, county, and state Republican officials pushing lies and misinformation and conspiracy theories that echo those that helped inspire the violence at the U.S. Capitol on the 6th of January. We cannot have a two-party system when one of those parties is basing a foundation on lies and deceit and conspiracies, can we?
Well, the question is whether the Republican Party is going to split into two parties all by itself. It kind of looked like that might happen, but sadly, I think for the country, although it may be better for Democrats in the long run, is that it is clearly the Trump Party. That radicalization of the Republican base is really just expanding, as we've seen down at CPAC. We've seen it with Trump still considered the leader of the party. When you have folks like Mitch McConnell, who blasted him on the House of the Senate, of course, after he voted not to convict him, and then turns around and says if he's the nominee, he'll vote for him. So the party is now being led by people like Marjorie Taylor Greene and the QAnon nut, you know, supporting essentially a domestic terrorist group. And then folks like Ted Cruz, Lindsey Graham, people like this who also then, as you saw in, as happened in Texas, run away at the first sign of trouble. But the one party there, the Republican Party, is no longer what it was. It's lost that traditional ideology. It's the nationalism, nativism, politics of grievance, race-related bias is mainstream now among that party. And of course, the contradictions are always entertaining. They complain about cancel culture and attack the Democrats for that. And then they turn around nationally and even in Arizona and censure members who speak out, like Cindy McCain, who didn't support Trump and did support the Constitution. And so this extreme shift is very concerning for the U.S. And I think we have to look at that first before we look at elections.
We still have Republicans, Don, trying to recount the votes on the election of 2020. I mean, you've got the state Senate of Arizona now entitled to access the voting equipment related to materials and all of 2.1 million ballots used by Maricopa County in the November election to conduct their own audit and review the election results of last year. Unbelievable. We're still counting these damn votes again. I just can't believe this.
This is what happens when the Republicans lose elections. You know, instead of respecting the wishes of the voters and then trying to convince them to vote for them the next time based on having better candidates or better policies, they're just trying to get rid of the voters they don't like. You know, they want fewer people to vote. They think that's the difference. And so what we've seen in the Arizona legislature are over 30 bills introduced to suppress voting or to make it, obviously, to make it harder for people to vote. There was even one proposal in there to give the legislature the final say on presidential electors, essentially throwing out the vote of the people. But even now, there are still bills out there to eliminate the permanent early voting list, make it harder and to vote by mail, cutting the time frames, all kinds of really restricting laws because, again, when it comes to playing fair, Republicans have no interest in doing that or following the law. And that is the danger that's happening in Arizona if Democrats and independents kind of take their eye off the ball. It seems like a downtime and everyone wants to kind of sit back and take a rest. We have our president in place. You know, we have Mark Kelly elected. But that would be a mistake because there is so much happening in the state and still a lot happening in Congress that could do great damage in 2022 and make it harder for Democrats to win, particularly again in Arizona if this Republican legislature has its way.
Well, you alluded to a bill to let lawmakers override presidential election votes. I mean, you've got Senator David Gowen, former Speaker of the House. I don't know how he ever got to that point of leadership. He's an absolute lunatic politically. I mean, he's dumber than nine chickens, but obviously successful in many of his political adventures in southern Arizona. He said his SCR 1006 simply recognized the U.S. Constitution, giving lawmakers the ultimate power to choose electors. And what his proposal would do is actually allow them to exercise the authority over the voters in a presidential election. I mean, good Lord. Yeah, there were even some Republicans that were shaking their heads to this one, but that anything Gowen does or says does not surprise me. He is an absolute politically nutcase, but there and continues to be there, unfortunately, for much of southern Arizona. But, I mean, that was just outlandish of what he was trying to do, and hardly to be justified in any way, shape, or form. Amazing. Let me ask you about
go ahead.
Well, how do we keep talking about this, and you and I have talked about it for 10 years, and others have talked about it for 20 years. How do we get a Democrat elected House or Senate? And it has not happened very often. over the course of the 50 years that I've followed politics in southern Arizona. Is it the gerrymandering? Is it the inability of the Democrats to recognize some targeted districts and be able to become successful in those districts? We get close, but that only counts in horseshoes. So how do we do that? How do Democrats control one or the other house, if not both?
Are you talking about in the state?
And in Arizona, yes.
Two of the keys. Number one is the number one concern is potential gerrymandering, because you now have the Arizona Independent Redistricting Committee formed and beginning their work. They haven't gotten the census figures yet, but this year, all of those lines will be redrawn. Now, 10 years ago, you actually had a truly independent committee, and the lines were drawn pretty fairly. This time, Governor Ducey put his thumb very heavily on the decision-making, both with who he appointed to court committee that made the initial decisions, and then with regard to who wound up on that commission. So I really implore all Democrats, everyone interested in what's happened, to keep an eye on what happens with the redistricting committee this year, because that will determine the lines for the state districts as well as the congressional districts for the next 10 years. The second is to continue the efforts, and good effort was made this past year in registering, educating, and getting voters out to vote. It has been a challenge, but if you look at some of these different districts, the numbers have gotten closer. So instead of losing by 8 points, as has happened in the past in this last election, some of those districts for House seats and I think one of the Senate seats was less than 5 points. So it's continuing to get closer. The numbers are moving in a positive way for Democrats. Just look at the state registrations, even since January 6th. The Republican Party in Arizona lost over 14,000 members since the riot on the Capitol and censuring their party elders. So there are folks out there that are fed up with what the Republicans have done. It's up to the Democrats, though, to not just attack Republicans, and I know I'm doing that from in here, but I'm trying to lay out the facts, but really highlight good candidates who know their district, who get out and connect with the voters of the district on the issues that matter. Now, one of the issues is what we're talking about, and that's voter suppression. But there are others, like state infrastructure, certainly the education systems. I think one of the issues you can look at right now is how the Republican leadership in the state completely botched dealing with the pandemic. And even now, it's only getting straightened out with regard to distribution of vaccines once the Biden administration came in with a nationalized plan. So I think there are plenty of opportunities when you look at the issues in Arizona to say it's time to turn to the Democrats and let them lead, because the Republicans continually failed to do so. And I think the opportunity with the changing demographics and voter registration and the issues that could favor Democrats in 2022. It'll be incremental. It may just be one Senate seat. It may be one or two House seats, but that's all that is needed to turn the tide in Arizona.
Well, how do you get a Democratic governor in this state? The last governor that was Democrat was Janet Napolitano, long, long time ago.
Yeah, same issues. Fortunately, gerrymandering doesn't matter. What matters, number one, is getting a strong candidate. We didn't have that last time. As nice a guy as David Garcia was, he was not a strong candidate. He didn't run a great campaign. He didn't connect with the majority of Arizonans on the issues that mattered. So that's number one. We have the potential for a very strong candidate if Secretary of State Katie Hobbs decides to run. She has the track record. She is the only one in all of state government who stood up to the Republican attempts at voter suppression and restricting the vote this past year, and to make sure that the votes were counted fairly and honestly, and succeeded at that despite all the bullying that that was directed at her. So she comes in with a great track record and a proven record in Arizona, has the name ID. That's the type of candidate we need. I think if she ran, she'd make a great governor as well. And then you need the groundwork as we're talking here, just like we saw for Joe Biden last year, we need for the governor of this state. And again, the demographics are changing. I think if you energize all of the voters and lay out the contracts very clearly, not run a Republican-like candidate, but a strong, frankly, middle-of-the-road Democrat, kind of center-left candidate, and that's kind of what Secretary of State Hobbs is, then I think the Democrats can take back Arizona.
You know, I'm going to tell you a story right after this break about how Janet Napolitano became governor and under very strange circumstances, and it wasn't just because of her strength as the former U.S. attorney or because she ran a great campaign. It was other circumstances that allowed her to win the state's gubernatorial race by only 13,000 votes. I'll tell you that story, and you probably know the story, but I'll tell it again in just a moment. Stay with me, Don Jorgensen, former chair of the Democratic Party. We'll be back in just a moment. Two great furniture stores becoming one. Homestyle Galleries, located at 1010 South Wilmot and 2950 South Ina Road, have moved into the Wilmot store and to the Ina Road store. The new Ina Road location is one of the largest and most complete pre-owned and new quality furniture and home accessory stores in Arizona. Homestyle Galleries saves you thousands of dollars on Southern Arizona's finest home furnishings. And now you can turn your once-loved home furnishings into cash. Visit this new Homestyle Gallery Superstore at 2950 South Ina Road. They are open 7 days a week. There's never been a home furnishings inventory like this at a 15,000-square-foot superstore. You must visit Homestyle Gallery's one-stop location at 2950 South Ina Road, Southern Arizona's largest savings on quality furniture.
Hi, my name is Jim Hanley. I was born and raised in Tucson, and I raised my own boys here. I want to get to know you, your dreams and goals, and help you shape them into a plan for success. I've been helping hundreds of Tucson families do this since 1993. It takes experience and know-how to navigate the rocky shoals of the financial markets and keep you on an even keel. I look at every account I manage every day to find opportunities to grow your nest egg, to make you at ease and enjoying your life. I want to show you the highest integrity and reliability you can find anywhere. That's why I named my business with my own name, Jim Hanley LLC, and why I'm a member of the CFA Society of Tucson. Find me at jimhanleyllc.com or call me at 623-3646. That's 623-3646. Jim Hanley LLC is a registered investment advisor and a member of FINRA SIPC.
As a business owner, you're responsible for the growth, leadership, and the daily operation of your business. This includes your interaction and advocacy for your customers. Tucson Business Owners, Inc. offers you the opportunity to educate and advocate about community policies affecting profitability. By becoming a member of Tucson Business Owners, Inc., you can have an effect on common issues, such as curb appeal, municipal budget priorities, and keeping a vibrant workforce in the area. For more information, visit TucsonBusinessOwners.org.
Tell the story of Janet Napolitano being elected Democratic governor of the state of Arizona at that particular time. The compacts with the Indian tribes was not agreed upon by the legislature or Jane Hull, the existing governor, the Republican governor. And so the Indian tribes of Arizona placed it on the ballot themselves and spent millions and millions of dollars getting the compact on the ballot. Then they spent millions and millions of dollars getting people to go to the polls and vote for that compact in the general election. That particular margin of the higher number of Indian tribes voting was the 13,000 voter margin that won the governorship for the Democrat Janet Napolitano. Not that she was not the best candidate or that she ran the best campaign and turned out to be a great governor. It was the compact battle with the Indian tribes of Arizona that literally allowed a Democrat to be elected governor. I hope it doesn't take that again, Don Jorgensen, to get a Democrat in the governor's office again. It may take some extreme event, but boy, it's been an uphill battle, hasn't it?
It has, but that's interesting. When you look at the numbers that Biden drew from in the presidential election here in Arizona, Native American vote was a key component of that.
Absolutely.
Because they turned out in far greater numbers than in 2016. And so you can look at that same idea of addressing the needs of all the different people in Arizona, not just focusing, as the Republicans tend to do, on the corporate and country club wealthy types, but on Native Americans, on all working class Arizonans, certainly on the underserved populations traditionally, Hispanics and even the rural areas, which Democrats haven't taken seriously as much until this past election. And we've seen the difference. And we also saw an increase in seniors moving to the Democratic side than previously, too. So as you say, that kind of Jenna Napolitano shined a spotlight on it back there. And it's interesting that there's a piece of that that was true in 2020, and a roadmap for even the any of the statewide elections in 2022 for Democrats, because Biden and the Arizona Democratic Party showed that it can be done. And it's going to take, however, the same level of effort and enthusiasm to have a chance in 2 years.
Well, I don't think people realize that Mark Kelly's going to have to run again in 2022 for the U.S. Senate. He's filling out the term of John McCain. So here you go again with another key race.
If they're like me, I think most Democrats are aware, because I get a text from his campaign pretty much every day.
Yeah, saying hello,
asking for a dollar or two. So
yeah, right, yeah.
I don't think that'll escape anyone's attention.
Probably not.
So far, you can only be proud of the work that Senator Kelly's done in Washington.
He's a remarkable figure here. He truly is. Thanks so much, Don Jorgensen, for being with us. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you again soon. Thanks for staying involved. Thanks for doing such a great job on the Buckmaster Face-Off on Mondays. I'm always there for you. I'm always there for you. So, somewhat contentious is the way I would describe it. But I appreciate your patience and tolerance. I do. Thank you, Don. Have a good weekend.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
Don Jorgensen, former chair of the Democratic Party. Well, we'll talk to one of the key progressives of the state of Arizona from Blog for Arizona. Lori Bodine will be my guest after the news at the bottom of the hour.
This is Mike Emery at Perfection Auto Works. One of the first diagnostic tools of a good mechanic is his nose. Radiator, transmission, and brake fluids all have distinctive smells, so a good starts the process. We don't put masks on our mechanics so they can do their job of detecting and fixing car problems. We don't mask your car symptoms either. When your car has an electrical, air conditioning, or even that funky smell in the interior with the AC on, like hound dogs, we sniff those problems out. And all without a mask. Call today, 323-8650. Air conditioning, brakes, tires, complete auto repair, foreign and domestic. 323-8650 and PerfectionAutoWorks.com.
From the Perfection Auto Works studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. With me is Larry Bodine of Blog for Arizona. He is president of the Democrats of Greater Tucson. He is a former award-winning journalist for the New York Daily News. He's a lawyer and writer now for Blog for Arizona. He was a delegate to the Democratic National Convention. Here's Larry Bodine. Hi, Larry. How are you?
I'm doing well, John. How are you today?
Well, people say, you know, the 2 years from now, and it's just around the corner, 2022, is going to be a disaster year for the Democrats, and everything they gain is everything they're going to lose. How well-positioned are Democrats? You follow them carefully in your Blog for Arizona to hold what they have and get more of what they want in 2022 in Arizona and beyond.
Oh, I think the Democratic Party, at least in Arizona, is wonderfully positioned for 2022. In the 2020 election, 84% of Democrats voted, and that was won without having door-to-door campaigning available. The Democrats right now are completely united. There's a new party chair in Raquel Terran. She won overwhelmingly, and everything you see about the Democratic Party is that they're all gearing up to flip the Arizona legislature in 2022. And then, wonderfully, on the other hand of the spectrum, you've got the Republican Party, which is having a civil war. The Republican Party sanctioned the sitting Republican governor the Republican Senate leaders in the legislature sued the Republican Maricopa County supervisors and won. You have Kelly Ward, the party Republican Party chair, who is out campaigning against everybody who's not insane. And then even within the legislative caucus, there's a libertarian element that wants to oust the House Speaker, Russell Bowers. So they're in a circular firing squad. And meanwhile, you know, one way I can clearly tell that Democrats have got their act together is by the overwhelming use of the request to speak system. This is where you can sign up and voice your opinion on specific bills. And on February 14th, the Democrats came out in such strength that they crashed the state system. And one bill got 1,000 votes against it, and that was torpedoed. So I see a blue skies, a blue wave coming for Democrats.
Yeah, it seems to me, too, we're going to have new districts, I would assume, after the census. So that's going to be a key, too, as to how balanced they are. With a new redistricting commission, I think that's to be known. I don't think we know how fair they're going to be or how balanced these districts are going to be.
Yeah, that's true. Even currently, we have some districts that were created to where Republicans could always win, like Legislative District 11, which is famous for Representative Mark Fincham, the QAnon supporter of domestic terrorism. He's got there's a plus 10% registration of Republicans there. But if past is prologue, I think Arizona is going to have fair districts. There might be some additional districts, but things are going to be split along demographics. And the Democrats are well aware that this is going on, and they're going to make sure that they have a strong presence at all of the public meetings of the Independent Redistricting Commission, in contrast to 10 years ago when the Tea Party swamped it. So that's not going to happen again, and Democrats are on the alert about redistricting.
Let people know that are listening about Blog for Arizona. What's available to them? Have they not seen it? Have they not been aware of it? What's there for folks, whether they're progressive or not?
Well, frankly, if you love Arizona and you want to be informed about your state and local politics, blogforarizona.net is designed for you. It's a blog that's been up for 15 years. It's always free, it's always independent, and it always is left. At Blog for Arizona, I've been a writer there for a little under 5 years. The correspondents report political news, opinion, and events, all for Arizona's liberal citizens.
You know, the Washington Post calls it the best blog in Arizona. It strikes me, too, that it's always up to date. I mean, you have a great many people that are contributing to Blog for Arizona, but somebody's following things almost on a daily, almost hourly basis, because when something happens within the Democratic Party or the politics of Arizona, it's there. I mean, ahead of the Daily News that you might want in the Star or any other publications, online or not, Blog for Arizona sometimes scoops everybody. And that's an amazing, I think, a bit of information for people instantly.
Yeah, well, all of our correspondents are insiders to politics, and we'll have the story first. And then a few days later, you'll see it in the Arizona Star or some other publications. And I give total credit to writers like Carolyn Klassen, David Gordon, Mike Bryan, and then our anonymous Arizona Blue Meanie. If you really want to know just the important things, go to blogforarizona.net, and you can be up to date as well.
You know, there's a lot of rumors going around about, prominent Democrats, but one of them is that the mayor, Raheena Romero, has been on a watch list from the Biden administration for a possible appointment to a job in Washington, and of course that would remove her as the mayor of the city and open up all kinds of, I guess, crazy politics to replace her. How much validity to that is there?
Well, frankly, John, this is the first I've heard of it, but I wouldn't be surprised. She's intelligent. She's young. She's Latina. She She's from Pima County, which is the bluest county in the state. She would be a very likely candidate to be nominated for the federal government, especially knowing that Pima County is a Democratic county. Five out of six of the executive positions in Pima County are all in Democratic hands, especially the city council in Tucson. So another Democrat would be elected to replace her.
Yeah, that would be an amazing. I don't know how many people would be in that battle, but it would be a long line, I would think,
yeah,
of people that would like that particular job. Let people know how to go to Arizona, Blog for Arizona.
Well, go to Google and type in Blog for Arizona, and it'll come right up. Or just visit, just type the web address, blogforarizona.net, and you'll get all kinds of interesting insights, such as the points that I was making now, and as well as all of the allies that the Democrats now have. There's Civic Engagement Beyond Voting, which has a weekly newsletter of bills that citizens can vote up or down. There's the Arizona List, which is actively recruiting local and state candidates. They provide, they're recruiting pro-choice Democratic women. They train them how to run a campaign, how to be a candidate, how to raise money, and they help them get elected. And on top of that, the Democrats are going after the rural voters, who are mostly Republican at this point. And the plan is to set up Democratic offices, get organizations going, and bring Democratic elected officials to local events. And all eyes are on the state legislature. I'm confident the Democrats will flip the legislature in 2 years.
By the way, if you want to contribute to Blog for Arizona, be sure that it's always there. What do you do?
You go to blogforarizona.net, and you will see a donate button. I don't know if I mentioned, but we're all volunteers. Nobody's paid on the Blog for Arizona. We're citizen journalists. Click on the donate button, and you can donate online via PayPal. And keep this wonderful, independent, liberal voice online. When you start to see Blog for Arizona articles get picked up by the local media, we see the page views just go off the charts. People come to the site like crazy. So, yes, donate to Blog for Arizona. We are grateful for your support.
Larry Bodine, thanks for being with us, and I hope you have a great weekend. Thanks for the update on the progressive voice for Arizona, the Blog for Arizona. Thanks again. I appreciate you being on the show.
Hey, you're welcome, John.
All right, good to talk with you. Larry Bodine on the John C. Scott Political Forum. Coming up next, financial news. Consumers rebound to boost spending, 2.4%. Personal incomes increase. That's good news for the economy. How much good news is it for you as an investor? We'll talk with Jim Hanley, our financial advisor, after these messages. Tucson attorney Jeff Rogers is one of the most respected lawyers in Arizona. Jeff is the attorney other lawyers refer when they can't handle the case. The lawyer you choose can make all the difference. When your freedom, finances, or livelihood is at stake, choose the law firm recommended by other law firms. The Jeff Rogers Law Firm is rated preeminent by Martindale Hubble, the highest award to recognize excellence in American law practice. Call the Jeff Rogers Law Firm at 624-4700. Law offices at 177 North Church Avenue.
Since 1968, Ackerley Advertising has helped companies, restaurants, schools, churches, and nonprofit organizations manage their advertising. Hello, I'm William Ackerley, production manager at Ackerley Advertising. Right now, my brother, Dr. Ed Ackerley, and I are offering an awesome 50% discount on video production. We can help you tell your unique story with an affordable television commercial or video for your website and social media advertising. Give Ackerley Advertising a call or visit AckerleyAdvertising.com.
Together they brought a bit of France to the heart of Tucson. Guigny's French Cafe and La Baguette Bakery at Prince and Campbell have become a gathering place for Tucsonans who love great bread and wonderful food. The bread and the pastries of La Baguette Bakery have become a Tucson favorite, and Guigny's French Cafe offers casual atmosphere, delightful French cuisine, and moderate prices. Dine in or dine out, Guigny's is just perfect for breakfast and lunch, offering specialty coffees, lattes, French wines, cocktails, imported beer, and a touch of France. Guigny's French Cafe and La Baguette Bakery in the Safeway Center at Prince and Campbell have now become Tucson's destination to dine in or to take out. from the Perfection Auto Works Studios in Tucson, Arizona. This is the John C. Scott Political Forum. Receiving the right financial advice during these difficult times can make all the difference. This is a time to meet Jim Hanley. Jim Hanley owns a financial advisory company. His company administers millions of dollars through his customer accounts, small enough to offer personal representation, large enough to offer a myriad of opportunities to protect and grow your investments. Here's Jim Hanley. Hi, Jim.
Hi, John.
Well, bouncing back from, you know, months of retrenchment, you got America's consumers stepping up and spending a solid 2.4% in January, the sharpest increase in 7 months. That's good news, a sign the economy may be poised to sustain a recovery from the pandemic recession. What do you see, Jim Hanley?
Well, I saw last week the Dow stepped back a little bit. It was down 3.5%. The NASDAQ was off almost 5% last week. So we may be seeing a bit of a tempering of the enthusiasm that we have been seeing, from investors over the last quarter. I think that, you know, the sage advice is that all the news is always priced in to the market levels. And I think that we are seeing steady advance on the pandemic solution, on the vaccine rollout. I think I saw today that, 14% of Americans have received one shot and 6.8% have received two shots. So the vaccinations continue to go forward. And as more Americans are vaccinated, we're going to see an increase in normalization of life here. And normalization of life means a normalization of economic activities. Looking at the personal income increase for January, it was up 10%. We do see that consumer spending, however, was down 0.1%. And it was way off from what was expected, which was an increase in 2.4%. So I think there's a reflection that there is still some concern among consumers over the near term, and we're also seeing, I think, a lack of opportunity to spend. We saw, you know, during the pandemic, say the quarter, second to third quarters, we were seeing an uptick in larger ticket purchases by consumers. They're buying more durable goods, refrigerators, stoves, dishwashers, those kinds of things. Part of it is because there wasn't a lot of opportunity to spend in more social settings, you know, in restaurants and bars and at the theater, movie theaters and those kinds of things. So I think that the market is going to hold up. I mentioned last week that Ben Bernanke forecast growth of 5% for the economy this year, with most of that coming in the third and fourth quarters. So market is reflecting a lot of personal savings rate. I think it's up about personal savings rate is about 12% right now, which is more than double the typical savings rate. And so a lot of people have a lot of money socked away in banks. I think they're just chomping at the bit to spend. So, you know, that consumer spending is what really drives the economy, and what keeps the market higher is corporate earnings. So if consumer spending is up, that means product sales and services are up, and that means that corporate earnings are up. That supports stock prices. So, you know, I'm feeling pretty buoyed by what we're seeing. I went to put a plug in for the $15 federal minimum wage, because what that means is that more of the what is produced is captured by the lowest tier the employed, of the workers, and their income almost translates 100% into consumer spending. And again, you know, it's consumer spending that accounts for more than 60% of our economy. I also want to note that in Arizona, gladly, you know, we enjoy the seventh highest minimum wage in the country. Did you know that, John?
No, I did not know that. No.
Yes, it is. At $12.15 an hour in September, we got our minimum got a bump of 15 cents per hour. So January 1st, we were up, 15 cents. So it's $12.15 an hour, which is pretty damn close to 15. I also noticed that our average hourly wage here in Arizona is $18.27. So $18.27 is probably right in the sweet spot for at least for a living wage. I think there is quite a bit of disposable income in a wage that's that high. You know, they're not living high off the hog, but it's those wages, those mid-tier and lower-tier wages that really speak to a strong economy. And so I want to also use this opportunity to ask Kyrsten Sinema why she has opposed the end of the filibuster rule, because the filibuster rule is what gives Republicans an advantage in the Senate, where we right now have an advantage of one. So her support for the filibuster means that it's going to be more difficult for the Biden administration and for the Democratic senators to pass the $15 minimum wage, which will make this economy stronger, which will make this recovery quicker and larger. And so if she is pandering to employers in Maricopa County, she's doing so at the expense of our economy and the national economy.
By the way, very quickly, I've only got about a minute and a half, but you have concerns over the strengthening of the economy that's possibly going to accelerate inflation. That's sent the bond yields surging. What's your concern there, or do you have one?
I do have some concerns there, John. I mean, particularly because the way that the pandemic remedy has been financed is with just with debt spending. The Treasury Department just issues more bonds, and there is a very lax market for those bonds because the yields are so low. They're actually, you know, with inflation figured in, they're a negative yield, and so the Federal Reserve has been buying those bonds, creating an artificial market for those bonds. As a result, because when the Federal Reserve buys those bonds, they have to buy them with money, with currency. As a result, the currency supply was up 45% February to February.
Wow, that's pretty remarkable. Listen, I only have about 30 seconds. I want people to go to your website, jimhanleyllc.com, right?
Yes, that's it, John.
And there's a ton of information there. People can see retirement plans that are laid out in a format that's just so easy to understand. They can get to know you a little bit better. Just go to jimhanleyllc.com or pick up the phone and call them at 623-3646. Here's a way to protect what you have and to get what you want from one of the most bright and, I think, effective financial advisors that I've ever met or talked with. And he's the person you need to talk with about protecting what you have and getting what you want. Jim, thank you so much for being with us on weekends. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
It's always a pleasure, John, so have a great day.
Thank you so much. Jim Hanley. Call him 623-3646. From the Perfection Auto Works Studios, this has been the John C. Scott Political Forum. Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a great weekend.
This is Mike Emery from Perfection Auto Works. If your car is pulling to one side, making strange noises, takes too long to stop or start, you're gambling on maintenance. It's not just the car, but the people in it. At Perfection Auto Works, we do brakes, oil changes, tires, alignment, general maintenance, major services, and vehicle restorations of all cars, foreign and domestic. From the hood latch to the trunk lock, Perfection Auto Works can handle all of your auto or truck repairs. Call Perfection Auto Works today at 323-8650. That's 323-8650 or at perfectionautoworks.com.